I pray by now you're beginning to see that we don't serve an angry God. Or is it sinking in yet? We're not serving one who's out to punish you, who carries a big stick that can't wait for you to mess up so he can now take care of, punish you and going to cause bad things to happen to you and so forth. I hope by now you've seen that everyone is included in the finished work of the cross. We're actually going to touch on that even a little bit more today. But today, the title of the chapter that we're in by Steve McVeigh's book, for anybody new that we're kind of going through, is His Faith Changed Everything. His faith changed everything. We think it's a lot about our faith. Well, if I have more faith, well, we have Jesus' faith. The key is tapping our faith into His faith that we already have and so forth. But he had someone who came up to him one day, and he said, "Well, preacher, if God has done it all and everybody's included, do we need to believe?" Now, that is a good question. Steve says, yes. I still say yes. However, I think we must understand this statement that Steve said, that we don't believe the gospel to make it true. We believe it because it already is true. Many think that, well, at the moment I believe, then I'm forgiven of my sins, then I'm in Christ, then I'm reconciled to Jesus Christ. No, it's already all been done, but by faith we now believe what He has done, and now we can begin to benefit from that. I love Steve gives three or four different scenarios here, if we could see those on the screen. Some examples I think might help us understand this. He said, number one, a stunningly beautiful girl feels inferior and believes she is ugly. Now, folks, the fact is she's beautiful apart from her feelings. But if she don't believe that she's beautiful, then and she's going to go on her feelings instead of the fact, then is she going to benefit from the fact? You see the point? A genius lacks social skills and feels stupid. It doesn't matter how smart he is. If he feels stupid, he feels like that he's inferior to everybody else, then he's not going to walk in who he is. How many times do we go on feelings instead of the truth? Anybody? Okay, a lot. Sure we do. I tell you what, throw me a quick example, and I'll repeat it for the benefit. What are some examples of how we go by feelings instead of fact?
Guilt.
We feel guilty. We blow it, we sin, we mess up, or maybe we didn't even mess up, but we still feel guilty. The fact is, the Bible says we've been forgiven of all sin. Sin has been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Hebrews 10:17 says, "I will remember your sins no more." He's already dealt with it, but yet we're still beating ourselves up with guilt and condemnation. We're not walking in the truth. That's why it's important to know the truth, right? What would be another example of walking by feelings instead of by the truth? I'm sorry? Condemnation. Wow, that's the first cousin to guilt, isn't it? We feel condemned. We feel inferior because others put us down. We don't think we can measure up. Folks, we can't measure up in and of ourselves, but as Eddie pointed out last week in Ephesians 1:6, we've been accepted in Jesus Christ. We've already measured up because we're in Jesus. How accepted is Jesus to the Father? Perfectly? Well, then you are. Does everybody accept Jesus out there in the world? He said, no, if they hate you, they're going to hate me. I mean, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. But you see, it doesn't matter what others say. What matters is what does the Father say? What does the Creator say? Isn't that true? And so we've got to learn to walk by faith and walk in who we are, not looking at our behavior and listening to what others say. Number three, a little boy watching a scary movie is horrified that a monster is out to get him. You see, the monster's not going to jump out of the TV. He ain't going to jump out from under the bed. However, if that child thinks that monster is going to do that, then he's going to walk in fear, all right, and afraid. But not everyone is a Christian, you see, but that doesn't change the reality of what has been done for them. That's the point. Think about the Old Testament sacrifices. Clearly, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were far inferior to the perfect sacrifice that came, right? They were a shadow of the true thing that was to come. I want you to think about this. When the priest offered the sacrifice yearly, you know, he would go into the most holy of holies for the people who had sinned. Did the sinning persons have to have faith in the sacrifice? Now, this might be a trick question, so don't answer it too quickly. Did the sinning persons have to have faith in the sacrifice to be forgiven? Basically, the question here is, upon what was the forgiveness based? Was it based on them, or was it based on the sacrifice, you see? It was based on the sacrifice. When the priests offered the sacrifice on the altar, Israel's sins were covered regardless of whether the people believed it or not. That was true for everybody. You see, look at this quote. Forgiveness was based on the purity of the sacrifice. But now, if I choose not to believe it, I choose to think that I'm not forgiven, then I'm going to walk in guilt and condemnation just like everybody else. But you see, I've got to, by faith, believe it and receive it and walk in it, or I'm not going to benefit from that. Now, in the same way, what Jesus did was for everybody. I love Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Look at this. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You didn't get a boat that God put your sins away. That's a thank God moment right there. He didn't ask us. He didn't get our permission. Adam didn't come forward into future when he sinned in the Garden of Eden and say, hey, it's okay if I go blow it for y'all. No, we didn't get a vote then either. But you see, Jesus Christ came back to put everything right. And folks, he did it. Now, whose faith did it? Was it my faith? Or was it Jesus' faith? Wow. Steve had a guy that came to him. He said, but, we always have those what about and or but, right? But the Bible states in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have faith. We have to have faith to be justified. And then he began to quote this. Look at this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked this young man, he said, all right, whose faith are we justified? And the young man stated what he had been taught, and I guarantee you what you've been taught. Well, it's our faith. I've got to have faith to be justified. Question, is that what this verse says? It says we've been justified by faith. But we just assume, well, I guess it's my faith. No, it was Jesus' faith, you see. The guy interpreted this verse the way most evangelicals do today. He believes that our faith in Christ is the catalyst for justification. And folks, it's not our faith. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. Look at this. I love this quote from Steve. Faith is the conduit through which justification occurs, but it's Jesus' faith that has justified us. So you see, when we attach our faith to Jesus' faith through belief, we now can experience what God has done through Jesus Christ. Now, I've covered this before, but Steve covers it again, and I really feel like we need to touch on it briefly, just a couple of verses that point to the faith of Jesus Christ, not the faith in Christ. In this case here, the old King James Version has it more correct than a lot of the new King James verses. And we're not going to labor here long because we have talked about this before. But look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Some versions state faith in Jesus Christ, a big difference. It's of Christ, which is the faith of Jesus and not our faith. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Another person came to Steve with this quote. Let's look at this next slide. We get right with God when we receive Jesus. We're taken out of Adam and placed into Christ when we believe. That's what I've always thought. That's what I was taught. It all happens at the moment when I, by faith, believe and trust Christ. Now I'm put in Christ. Now I've been forgiven. Now I've been made right with God. And I hope by now you're seeing that this is really not correct, okay? Some of you may still be battling this. I don't know. You just keep studying. You keep listening to the Holy Spirit. I battled this part a long time about, well, are we really in Christ before we believe? I didn't think we were, but I now believe that we are, and I'm going to share just one verse right now that I hope that'll kind of help you see that we are. I know that this is what you've been taught, but how many times have I got to say this? What you've been taught mostly has been wrong. A lot of it, okay? I'm not just totally throwing everything out the window that I've learned, but I have said I've been wrong about this and this and this. I'm probably wrong about that too. And so therefore, I begin to study. I begin to listen to the Holy Spirit. I ask Him, Holy Spirit, show me what is the truth. And I hope that's why you're here today, that you're wanting to learn something new, you see. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Look at this. Just as He chose us in Him, this is talking about Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in before Him in love. Now, when were we chosen? Was it when we believed? Well, it was before we were ever born. It was before He even created the world. He chose us in Him before the foundation, you see, of the world. It wasn't when we believed. And the lady that brought this question to Steve said, so are you saying everybody is in Christ? And Steve made a powerful statement. He said, no, I'm stating that everybody and everything is in Christ. If it weren't, it would fall apart. Right. Now, where do you get that from, preacher? Well, Colossians chapter 1. Very powerful. And Steve in the book quotes the Young's literal translation, if we could see Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I think we've gone over them already, but it bears repeating. But in Him were all things created. That's in Jesus. Those in heaven, those upon the earth, those visible, those invisible, whether thrones, whether lordships, whether principalities, whether authorities, all things through Him and for Him have been created. Now watch it. And in Himself is before all, and all things in Him have consisted. So, I'm not suggesting that everybody has a conscious relationship with Christ. You see, that to me is when the light bulb comes on, illumination occurs, and if you want to use the term, quote, saved or believed, that's when it's like, ding, this has already been done. You see, the good news is, Here's what I've preached as a good news in my past. I'd say, first of all, you got to admit you're a sinner. The ABCs, right? Admit. Secondly, you got to believe what Jesus did for you. C, you got to confess it. And then, you see, all these things begin to happen. I'm forgiven, and now, and see, that's just not true when you really dig deep in Scripture. The good news is that Christ is not mad at you. That Jesus Christ loves you, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit loves you, that before the foundation of the world, before you were ever born, God chose you and loved you and died for you, and He's now already accepted you and forgiven you. What's your part in that? Y'all help me out a little bit. I've got to receive it or believe it, don't I? Or I'm going to keep walking the path thinking God's mad at me, thinking I can never be good enough. And I've tried going to churches and they keep saying do this, stop that, and I can't do all that, so the heck with it. That's one big reason why churches are emptying out every day, is they can't live up to the standards the church says. The sad thing about it is those that are in there thinking they aren't either. All right. Wow. That's where the term hypocrite comes from so much, right? We all are hypocrites in some way. But I'm telling you, folks, we can't do anything. We have to see that Christ has done it and by faith believe it. If we're not in Jesus, according to Colossians 1, then we're going to fall apart already. Well, what about those that die still not believing? Come back next week. Eddie is going to start on the chapter, and he's got a lot of study, and he's going to talk about Steve's stuff and what your grandmother's hell, okay? About your grandmother's hell. It's not your grandmother's hell. In other words, if you don't believe, do you have a chance after death to believe? I've got a pretty strong belief about that right now, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let you figure it out yourself. Okay? Some things we just don't know, but we can get some hints and think and so forth. All right? Does that mean hell is apart from Jesus? If the Bible says here that everything is held together in Christ, y'all gonna have to come back. Come back with an open heart. You could be wrong about what you've been taught. And I'll give you a hint, you probably were wrong about what you were taught. Okay? Now, y'all got me sidetracked. But these verses make it clear everything and everyone is in Him. Well, if it weren't, we would cease to exist. Now, talking about how if we don't by faith believe it, we're not going to benefit from it. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 makes this crystal clear. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 2 and 3. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard, watch it, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who had believed do interest. You see, the finished work of the cross had no effect on those who said, that's too good to be true. I don't deserve it. Miss Judy shared with me just a minute ago about she was sharing this good news with somebody and they just shut it down and said they just couldn't handle it. They couldn't believe it. I'm not worthy of this because of my past. You see, that's just one way, one thing, one avenue or angle of unbelief. Is that I'm not worthy of that. There's none of us worthy of that. On our best day. On our best day. Let me say that again. On our best day, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. Wow. We're all on the same playing field. It doesn't matter if you've got whatever the worst sin you can think of in your resume, okay, and in your portfolio. It doesn't matter. We've all blown it. You see, you either keep all the law or you break it all. You know, one little thing that wrong. And we've got more than one, or I do, okay? The finished work of the cross had no effect if that person doesn't believe it and doesn't walk in it. However, lack of belief or knowledge does not negate what has been done for that person. That's where inclusion comes in. That's where we've been included. The last statement I want to leave you before we go into discussion is this quote. Regardless of whether we know it, believe it, or even like it, we are all included. Your worst enemy, the worst person in the world, the Hitlers, the Osama bin Ladens, the whoever, have been included. Some of y'all rise up inside and say, oh, right? I know I've used this example. Y'all have heard this story, but I think it's just bears repeating again. There was a farmer in Texas who was about to lose his farm, and someone came to him and said, sir, we have suspicion that there might be oil on your property. And he didn't have anything to lose. The bank was about to foreclose on his property. And he said, sure, I have nothing to lose. And they said, we'll give you a percentage of whatever oil we find on the property. Well, they proceed to start drilling. It's my understanding, this is a true story. They hit one of the biggest oil gushers or wells that's ever been hit. The man became an instant millionaire. Or did he? Was he a millionaire all time and he just didn't know it? You see, this is what it is, a picture of those that are walking around in guilt and condemnation. Those that hadn't even ever heard of Jesus, let's just say. They're millionaires in Jesus' eyes, but yet they don't know it. That's why God gives us the ministry of reconciliation. To go and tell them, listen, God was in Christ reconciling you to Himself before you were ever born. That He loves you. He cares for you. He's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. Will you simply believe it? Jesus, Father, Daddy, Holy Spirit, help us to take this moment to soak in this a little bit deeper of how much you have, what you have done for us, how much you have loved us right where we are. You saw every sin, every imperfection before we were ever born. And Lord, you took this old self with you to the grave, that you buried our old self and we were raised a new creation in Christ. And Lord, many are not walking in the reality of this. And Father, as we were stating earlier, it breaks our heart that there are more not hearing this true good news gospel message. That they're hearing mostly that, yes, about Jesus, but it's also about what you better be doing afterwards to remain in fellowship, to remain right with you. And some are even stating it's taking good works plus Jesus to be saved to start with. But both of them are faulty and in error. And I'm just thankful that you're teaching us here the truth. You're changing our image of you. And Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in my own life. I'm just standing here preaching this. I'm just seeing you clearer and clearer and clearer. And my love for you is growing because I know how much more you love me. We love because you first loved us. If we want to love more, Lord, we need to keep digging and saying, how much do you love us? What have you really done for us that we don't even have a clue? Your love is infinite, so we can study this, I believe, on into eternity with you in heaven and still see some nuggets of truth that you're so much better than what we've thought. And Father, during this time of discussion, just help us to be honest. If we're struggling about something, just it's okay to say the what ifs. But don't shut it down just because that we haven't heard that before. Let your Holy Spirit work. You be the teacher, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look at these questions. And once again, you go off on your own little angle if you want to, okay? This message by Stephen Carlton stated that we're justified, made righteous, and placed into Christ apart from our belief and our faith. Do you believe this? If you don't, that's okay. I'm not going to throw stones. Eddie might, but I won't. I'm just kidding. Does this mean everybody is a Christian? All right, now, here's where it gets down to talking to people. How would you explain your answer to a person who has never heard these truths? I'll be back.
You know, I've thought about this before. You mentioned Hitler and Osama bin Laden earlier. And years ago, I thought, well, you know, Hitler was a choir boy when he was a young man. Back under traditional thinking, what if he was saved then? I've often thought about that. But now under this, it's even more so. We think about our traditional thoughts maybe when we get to heaven, our sweet little grandmother's going to greet us with St. Peter, maybe your mom or your daddy or whatever. But what if your greeting committee is St. Peter, Adolf Hitler, and Osama bin Laden?
Oh, Lord.
You know? I mean, really. And you say something like that to most people, and oh, my God, well, if that's the case, I just don't want to go there. I don't want to be involved. But are their sins really greater than our sins? No, they're not. And if forgiveness can extend to us, can it to them?
You know, one thing you were talking about earlier is people talking about big sins versus little sins. Someone was talking about saying, God can't forgive my past, and people really have a hard time letting go of the past. And what we don't realize is that whether you're putting your trust in pleasures or drugs or whatever it is that the world and the church looks at as sin, that's putting your trust in something other than Christ and expecting fulfillment. If I'm putting my trust in my own righteousness, that's no different in God's eyes than putting my trust in temptation. Because the only difference is I'm trying to find fulfillment outside of Christ. I'm trying to find justification outside of Christ. And really, there's no difference between the person who is the choir boy and the person who's the prostitute on the streets. I mean, you don't think that God's heart is breaking for that prostitute, that crack addict that's selling herself? She's just a victim of her own bad choices. But in reality, those bad choices are no worse. In fact, really, she's closer to finding the heart of God than the guy who's sitting in the front row of the church who thinks he's never done anything wrong.
Wow.
So we were talking about the difference between, how would you explain your answers to a person? The difference between trying to do that with a believer and these truths versus an unbeliever. And Eddie kind of piqued that, because it's easier to talk to an agnostic or an atheist about Jesus than it is a believer, because the believer is still going to try and reconcile it by what they've been told.
That's right.
And that's not going to wash. It's not going to happen. So Vivian's talking about a particular situation, and Ava brings up, well, this is what Dan does. And I'll ask him, I'll say, well, tell me about your God. Tell me about this Jesus that you're struggling with. And they'll explain it to me, and I'll say, well, I don't believe in that Jesus either. Because it's not the Jesus I believe in. It's an angry God. It's a Jesus that came to do things other than what he really came and did. And then they'll you know, scrunch up their eyebrows and say, well, what do you mean? So it's a long story. Where do you want me to start? And if they really want to talk about it, we will. If they really want to just go back to what they've learned and stand on that, it's not going to work. The discussion won't last more than a few minutes, and they'll go away typically angry. Yeah. So I'll talk with you about it all day if you want, but I'm not going to argue with you.
Right.
And with a believer, that's typically where we end up. Now you just want to tell me what your pastor said about this last week. And that's fine, because he went to cemetery.
Cemetery.
and he's, you know, he's smarter than the rest of us, but guess what? He makes mistakes too. So yeah, once we can get past that and let them just crack that door open a little bit, then maybe we get there. But in my experience, 99 out of 10 times, it doesn't happen with believers. Not that they won't come back, but
right.
Typically it will not happen in that first discussion.
Right.
But that's just me.
Right. Well, Eddie and I have discussed this too. And, you know, if somebody's just wanting to argue, and you're really wasting your time, aren't you? I mean, you just got to trust the Spirit there, I think. So, casting pearls before swine.
And you dust off your feet.
And you dust off your feet and you move on. Yeah, so.
I think as, you know, I continue in my faith walk, I think that everybody's entitled to their own opinion, first and foremost. And two, I think that God loves us unconditionally, no matter what. So for, to answer the second question, for somebody who's coming to know Christ, I would tell them that I'm coming to know Christ as well. So we're on this faith walk together, and I'm not going to condemn anyone, because who am I to judge anyone? God, you know, the only person who could judge me is God. And for me, like I said before, God loves me no matter what. And for those who are coming to know Christ, God is my parent. And just like a parent loves a child, we love our kids no matter what.
He's just patient with us and loves us and in spite of us, right? Thank you for being here today and just for listening and not shutting down something just because you hadn't heard it before. That if you do that, you're wasting your time here, I can tell you that. So especially if you got a church background. Right? All right. You're dismissed. Love you guys.